Theory coming to you live from the Garden here, doing a little bit of a pregame show, I guess, before Celtics Hawks. And Nate is on standby. We're struggling to get the others in here, but it's a holiday weekend, so I'll give them a break. Nate, what's going on?
Nothing much. Watching some NFL Red Zone, which means have not seen a Patriot snap all day. How about you?
Today was the toilet bowl. Long awaited. They tied 7-7. I thought it was going to be a 0-0 tie for a minute.
I mean,
we'll see how that one shakes out.
A combined 3 interceptions by Patriots quarterbacks will probably aid to it being a 0-0 game.
It's a disaster. But we're talking basketball here. Celtics Hawks about to get underway here. Some games on Sundays we record this. But surprising result on Friday for some. You know, I was all up on the Magic, though, Nate. So I am not shocked to see them in first place in their in-season group. And knocking off the Celtics again here to move to 11-5, second in the East. Paolo Banchero coming off his Rookie of the Year campaign, leading them. Franz Wagner's been outstanding. They have a couple injuries, too. So head of star Anthony Black. They're rotating in centers like Mo Wagner and Jonathan Isaac, playing great defense. I believe the number one in defense in the league right now. The shooting's shaky. They shot well in this game, but overall not the best shooting team, not the best offensive team here. But they're one of a number of teams, Nate, and I think it's one of the big stories early this year. We talked big stories last time. These up-and-coming teams, and I'll name them, the Magic, the Pacers, the Rockets, as well as the Thunder, are real candidates, I think, to be playoff threats. Now, does that mean contend for their conference? Probably not. But these are teams that I think they're showing it early could make it difficult in a playoff series if they're able to sneak in and be one of those teams.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by what I've seen so far by the four teams that you mentioned. I think out of the four teams that you mentioned, the two that are the most intriguing to me are Indiana, just because Haliburton is just so good, and also Oklahoma City, because they have all that talent, and Chet seems to be he's technically a rookie, but you can tell that year that he spent.
He went toe-to-toe with Embiid yesterday.
Yeah. Like, you could tell that the basketball IQ for someone who is an NBA player is starting to develop, or it's further along than what a rookie should have. So it's very interesting to watch them. Lou Dort's still amazing. The Jalen Williams, the two Jalen Williams, is also still amazing as well. So out of the four, I'd probably say OKC is the most impressive. I still need to wait and see more from the Magic, though. I mean, they seem to have the pieces well together, but if we talk about last year and we think about teams like the New Orleans Pelicans that get off to a really hot start and then they kind of falter late, and then all of a sudden they're just like, there's just nothing to talk about regarding that team. I need to see more for the Magic for them to prove to me that there's something worth talking about.
Yeah. And they need someone to stand out as one of the top 10 to 20 players in the league, for them to be a threat to make the finals, certainly here. And, you know, maybe they're able to do that through the draft. Maybe one of these guys they have right now turn into that. But right now it's Paolo, who I think is, you know, in that mix to be that kind of guy. If he can get his shot down, I think he can do just about everything else. Me and Dan were actually talking about him last night. And the interesting thing with him, if you were to compare him to one player in the league right now, like in terms of what his ceiling could be, I think you go to Randle, right? Body type, game, shot making, all that different kind of stuff, you know, forcefulness to his game too, but more of a finesse style, which isn't great, right? Because that's an all NBA guy, but not the kind of guy that's going to lead you to a championship. So you hope that he's going to end up being a little bit more of a consistent shot maker than Randle is, or at least just a more consistently physical player. But luckily for him, they have guys like that all around him. Like Franz can do it all. I think Franz is already one of the best second options in the league. If you want to throw like names like Jaylen Brown out there, like he's kind of in that mix. At least he's going to be there soon, just in terms of the range of stuff he can do. And then you have your guards, Cole Anthony, Fultz had been playing well before he got injured. I think of Jalen Suggs, who's finally starting to show some things defensively. So I love this team. You know, I did a year ago, Nate, they started 5-20, so they had to dig themselves out of that hole going 500 the rest of the way and just missed the playoffs. I think there's almost no doubt in my mind that they're going to be in the playoffs this time around. Not just the in-season or play-in tournament, playoff team, but the real eight, maybe a seven seed, maybe an eight seed. And they're already ahead of the game with a start like this.
Yeah, definitely. But we still have a lot of season left. It's only, well, basically December at this point. So that's like 1 month into the season. I'm curious to see what happens when they start to experience the ebbs and flows. Because right now they're on a high, and highlighted by their, 9-2 starting record. So they're on a high right now. I want to see what happens when adversity hits them. One of the reasons why, especially during the playoffs, I tend to pick against teams that are deemed favorites because they don't experience the adversity during the regular season. So how can I trust them to be able to excel in the adversity of the playoffs? So I would like to see them experience some adversity and see what happens when they experience that adversity. And that will give me a better read on what the Magic really are in 2023, 2024.
You go through your steps, right? You make the playoffs, you probably get swept by one of the better teams in there. Then you come back the next year, you battle a little bit more. And then, you know, usually by around year three, you're ready for that run there. And luckily they got all those rookie contracts. They're going to have to decide some stuff like Fultz. I think he's going to be a free agent this summer.
What about Carter?
Carter's been missing. You know, he broke his hand. So
yeah.
I think he'll probably be up soon as well. Let me see his contract here. Because he came over from the Bulls on his rookie deal in that awful trade. Yeah. And that's really what set up the Magic to be what they are now, right? Bringing back Carter, bringing back the pick that became Franz from the Bulls. And then they got Chet Howard from the second one. So we'll see what that turns into. But Wendell right now, $13 million this year, $12 million next year, $11 million the year after. So they have him locked up.
That's affordable.
I love that team. Now, if you're the Celtics, you're a little concerned losing by 17 here. I know the big thing I said on the show was that you gave up all the point differential in the in-season tournament here, and now you're 22 points behind the Magic in your group, even if you do win the next game here. Don't love that. Like, I wish they actually played to the in-season. And this is a point you made, or you've made, Nate, is that teams don't care about it, especially a team like the Celtics. Some of these teams that are going for the championship, your Nuggets just got eliminated from the tournament. So those teams aren't buying 100% into it here, clearly. And teams like the Magic, the Pacers, who went undefeated in the in-season slate, some teams out west, you know, the Lakers bought into it and were in an easy enough group. They were in the kiddie group, frankly, going 4-0. Yeah. So it's been a mixed bag in terms of how seriously teams have taken this. And Celtics put themselves in a serious position of potentially not making it here.
Yeah, I mean, when you have Jaylen Brown, the NBA's highest paid player, shooting 6 of 22.
Next year.
Still, though, like, you can't shoot 6 of 22. It's you can't do that anymore. You have to step up, especially when Jason Tatum seems to be on an average, not a spectacularly great Tatum night that we expect from him. It's time for you to be number one or number 1A. And Jalen didn't do that. Kristaps Porzingis kind of got hurt a little bit. I believe Derek White?
Drew Holiday was down.
Drew Holiday was out. But didn't another player get hurt? Or
White went down for a minute, but came right back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you kind of have ebbs and flows through that game of, like, players not being available at certain times and stuff like that, which definitely plays a part in it. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to looking at Jaylen Brown, 6 of 22. Like, come on. Like, you have to be better than that.
Yeah, and he's had ups and downs so far. Great game against the Bucks. 8 assists, 1 turnover in that game. Scored well. Looked better with Porzingis than, frankly, Lillard and Giannis did that night. But then he's had the downs, too. The Hornets game was very scary. Takes a very ill-advised three with Porzingis open underneath the net in a tight game, close, late there. And then, as you mentioned there, shaky game against the Magic. So the tricky thing for a guy like him is he probably has to adjust more than anyone else to this New York team here with all the other options they have, all the other ball handlers, and figure out where he's going to get his, because he's a great transition player, great mid-range shooter, great finisher. But catch and shoot threes haven't been his thing the last couple of years. Ball handling, certainly not his thing, you know, when he tries to get it that way. And passing comes and goes for him. So it's going to be a little up and down to start this year. And you've been tough on him. I think a lot of Celtics fans have been too. In fact, I think he's propelled above Joe on the most criticized member of the Celtics list here, as happens when you sign a $300 million deal. But he is going to be the swing guy. And a lot of people have talked about it over the last couple of weeks here. Like, can he consistently play effective basketball for this team, even though he's not at the center of everything they're doing now? In fact, you'd say Porzingis is probably the second option on this team, and on many other nights, Porzingis and White are even going to be ahead of him in terms of who has the ball. So yeah, how do you handle that?
You catch and shoot, take a lot of catch and shoot threes. We're seeing James Harden on the Clippers having to adjust to that as well. Players that are used to having that dribble rhythm before they shoot the three, having to adjust to catching and shooting. So yeah, just get in the gym, take a lot of catch and shoot threes, make sure you're open. Work on those handles as well. Get to your right hand, get to your left hand, finish with confidence as well. Definitely some things I'd like to see from Jaylen Brown, maybe some increased, court awareness in terms of passing ability and stuff like that. But, overall, like, again, like I understand, but here he took the most shots on Friday, took the most shots. 6 of 22, the closest was Jason Tatum, 7 of 16.
Your way to impact the game isn't always going to be shoot the most shots, be the most aggressive.
Agreed. But you guys, you Celtics fans in the chat, have been saying that Jalen's defense is getting worse. He's not really a good ball handler. He's not really he's not really a good playmaker either.
Not much of a screen setter.
So that being said, besides scoring, what else does he really do?
He's capable of doing those things, which is the frustrating part. It's not like he's short.
I mean, a lot of people are capable of doing it, but do they do it or not?
Right, and that's what we're looking for from him right now. Can you do those things consistently? Because you have to now. And everybody on this team has said they're buying into a championship mentality. He said he wants to be all defense this year. So you have to do it. You have to actually go out there and do it, not just say it. And do it consistently, not just have that one great game on Wednesday. Because when you look at the Celtics recently, shaky game in Orlando, a loss. Bad loss in Charlotte. Really shaky game in Memphis against a team that, frankly, had nobody available. They win that one by two. Great game against the Bucks, but bring it down to 3 late. Bad fourth quarter. And then I'm trying to think of what the other game was recently. But those four are the ones that come to mind. Starting to slip up just a little bit here. Now, I looked a year ago, they were 13-3, so not a huge difference. But starting to slip up, I feel like, overall, a little earlier than they did last year when they started 21-5. And frankly, looked like they couldn't be stopped to that point. Now, Porzingis is hurt. As you said, he's out for this one. Holiday's got an ankle sprain, so that's something that's going to hobble you a little bit. And he had already been playing a little shaky before that. This is a thin team. You know, they don't have a lot of guys that can step up and do the things those guys do when they're missing. Frankly, Porzingis, who just looked indispensable to start this year, dominate mismatches. I mean, Nate, he was number one in post-up efficiency to start this year, 1.6 points per possession. So he was incredible. Defense, too, super impressed. Now, calf injury, it can be a little shaky. Missed 3 games here. Does it linger? I don't know.
I mean, also in the just for the interest of competing for a playoff or for a championship, probably should be more cautious than not right. with Porzingis, especially understanding his injury history in the first place, and then also understanding that the goal is a championship. So it doesn't really – like, it kind of matters if he's available now or if he's available in December, January, February. But, like, the real thing is he going to be available in April? Is he going to be available in May? Possibly June if you guys – if the Celtics are able to get there. So all that taking into consideration, like, I think that this is a really – I'm not sure how long Porzingis is going to be out or how long Drew Holiday is going to be out either. But depending on that, it could be a very pivotal point in Jaylen Brown's season where he might be able to find some rhythm here and then figure out just like what his overall role or what his responsibilities will be with this team in order for them to win a championship.
All right. As we've mentioned, it is football Sunday, 4 o'clock games coming up, night game as well, Monday Night Football, all the way down the line to the playoffs coming up fast. And you can bet on all that and more. NBA in-season tournament available over there too, which my co-host Jimmy wasn't sure about, but is on here for the betting. Of course, you can bet anything. FanDuel.com/Boston. Go get $150 in bonus bets when you place a winning $5 money line bet. So got a bet on a winner. This is what Nate loves to do every weekend. Just pick the winners, forget the lines. Just pick who's going to win. And if you get it right, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets. First time users right now over at FanDuel.com/Boston. 21 plus present of Mass. $5 pregame money line wager required, and the bonus bets are issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. So see all of that and more over at FanDuel.com/Boston. Shout out to them, the official sports wagering partner of CLNS Media. Dome Theory and the Garden Report here. So let's talk about some of those other teams, Nate. If you had to pick one of them, they're all going to be in this in-season tournament, I think, maybe save for the Thunder. Thunder, who have their own problems right now that we won't discuss here until later notice. The Pacers, the Rockets, and we mentioned the Magic already. So you could say the Magic if you want, but out of those four teams, and we'll talk about a different one here, who do you think is the most serious this year?
Oklahoma City. Shea is, what is this, like his fifth NBA season? Sixth NBA season? He's the veteran of the group, and he's been playing like someone who is an all-NBA player, all-star player for years to come. So year six. And also you have just like the pieces around them are just so interesting because, again, you have Lu Dort, who is like, I don't think anybody wants to try to score on Lu Dort. Like, that's just one of the most impossible things you could try to do in the NBA. Chet Holmgren looking like a player who's been in the NBA for years at this point. You have Jalen Williams, both Jalen Williams. Definitely forgetting some players, but just overall, just a collection of talent, the fact that they have continuity as well, especially with that coach, I think that they would probably be the one that I take the most serious. Indiana, they score a lot, but they also give up a lot of points. So what happens when they go cold? The Magic, like I said, I still have to see. And there was one more team that you mentioned that I'm forgetting.
The Rockets,
yeah. And the Rockets, again, that's something else. It's a new culture with them too. How dedicated are they to the Ime Udoka system and that culture, which is based on like just like trying really hard and stuff like that? Because like before, it didn't really seem like they had much structure. So how do they seem to be adjusting to that well so far? But again, like when adversity hits, what's going to happen? And we haven't seen that yet.
Well, they've gone through a little bit losing Kevin Porter early on and have to figure that out. Jabari Smith's had to go to the bench to end games, and he's been okay with that. They're buying into the culture, obviously. Under Ime there, and the defense has been good. But you're right, it's early. Do you lose more pieces as it goes on? I know you've mentioned that you're a big believer in Şengün too, and that's the question we have to ask here. I think Shea has already emerged as an MVP caliber player. Can Şengün do that? Potentially. I mean, you're starting to see the shades of it. He went out there, and did they beat the Nuggets in that game? They played them close.
I think they did.
Yeah, so he went out there and went toe-to-toe with Jokic. Obviously, no Murray. They beat them. Which is impressive in an in-season game, which we'll get to in a minute here. But you have Şengün there, Jalen Green, who I'm not a huge fan of, probably isn't a future MVP guy, but we'll see. He's still young. And then the Pacers, I think, obviously have an MVP-level guy in Haliburton. In fact, he should be getting a little bit more attention because when he was out against the Celtics here, they lose by 50, and they've been able to beat just about anyone else. They have a historic offense right now, 123 points per 100, pretty much per game, if you want to call it that. It's been amazing. So, as we mentioned with the Magic, who's that guy for them, the future MVP caliber player on that team? Maybe it is Paolo, but I think the three other guys we mentioned here are much closer and much more sure-fired in terms of being able to eventually become that.
Yeah. Definitely, Halliburton's definitely a contender as well. Şengün, again, I think we have to see about that. But out of the players that you mentioned for potential MVP awards this season, I'd probably err on the side of Halliburton. Because again, he's so efficient. He just understands the game. You could tell that he really feels the game, and that feel is the number one catalyst. Yeah, like it's the number one catalyst towards Indiana's successful start to the season. I think it's very interesting that this is going to go down as one of the few trades that works for both teams when you think about the Sabonis-Halliburton trade, because the Kings get Sabonis and they are perennial playoff contenders every single year. And we have to wait and see about Indiana, but so far it's looking good. So it seems like it's going to work out for both teams. But I think that maybe just for the sake of the MVP conversation, maybe De'Aaron Fox should get some looks as well, just because it seems like that team functions so much better with him versus without him.
Yes, and they're in that in-season mix right now too. So we'll talk about that before we get out of here. The standings right now, we're going into the last day of games. And I want to know, after I roll through this, Nate, whether you've actually enjoyed this or not, because you were one of the big skeptics. You didn't care about it. In fact, you didn't even want them to do it. because of how stupid you thought it was. But so far, you have the Lakers at 4-0 who are going to be in. The Pelicans are all but a lock at 3-1. Kings just need to win one more essentially to get in. Pacers are in. Bucks just need to win one more against the Heat, which isn't easy. So them and the Heat are going to be in. And then the Magic, I think, are close to a lock here. So then your wild card contenders are the Celtics, Knicks, Cavs, Wolves, Warriors, Rockets, and Suns are probably a lock out west. So
okay.
I think you're looking at Suns, Lakers, Pelicans, Kings, Pacers, Bucks or Heat, Magic or Celtics, maybe the Nets.
The last game will be on Tuesday, correct?
Yes. Bulls, okay. Celtics, baby. So,
let's see here. In season tournament Tuesday. I think it depends on who's playing. Or who they're playing. Like the Celtics are playing who they're playing on the last day. Like the Celtics are playing the Bulls. You can lock that up. The Bulls are going to lose by 50. I
mean, and that's honest. Big because the tiebreaker, Nate, is point differential. Yeah,
it is point differential, as we've been saying. So definitely, like, I have more faith in the Celtics beating the Bulls than I do for the Hawks to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I think it's really based off that. As I'm looking, you said the Timberwolves are going to play Oklahoma City. I like Oklahoma City in that. The Rockets are going to play Dallas. I'm still not really fully certain where I feel or how I feel about Dallas. So that one's going to be a toss up. The Warriors are going to play the Kings on Tuesday. And that's for the Kings. That should be really good. And then, those are the games on Tuesday. I skipped a few. The Knicks play the Hornets, but the way that the Knicks looked on Friday before they lost to, before they came back and won to the Miami Heat, I can see them losing to the Hornets. Those are my thoughts.
What do you think of the tournament overall? Have you enjoyed it? Do you think it's been effective?
I mean, again, like if we're going to have the old 2010s era fights that we saw during the in-season tournament, I have no choice but to support it. And like just seeing the passion, seeing
DeMar was upset. The Raptors were running up on him.
Like that. And well, because he didn't seem to understand that that's the point of the in-season tournament, but that's a whole other thing about the Chicago Bulls and how they just don't understand basketball. But anyway, seeing the players have a heightened sense of passion is definitely something that is really good for the league. And if it's going to remain like this for the most part, I think that it's going to be good for the league. But I do think that we do need to because somewhere out there in Twitter land, someone's getting ready to argue, DeMar DeRozan is better than Steph Curry because DeMar DeRozan has more in-season tournament wins than Steph Curry. And that was really my concern going into it. And I just hope that we don't get to that point. I think it's entirely possible just because of how fans are. But as long as we're able to stay away from that and we're able to understand that the real thing is the NBA Finals and that's really all we care about or mostly what we care about, I think that it should be fine.
The only three problems I see so far, everyone seems to be slipping on the courts, and the courts are ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're just, some of them have been decent, like the Magic one. I don't know if you caught any of that game. It looked decent. Right. The Lakers one's okay. The Bulls is horrible. The Raptors. Okay.
What I will say about the courts is that if you take away the strip in the middle of the court and you just make it the paint, and then you just make the actual color of the court a normal court, a lot of these courts would be really, really nice. It's just that you just went too far in terms of trying to make it look creative or whatever, that you just made it so that everybody's looking at a red atrocity instead of actually watching basketball. Yeah.
Too much color. And I'm looking at the classic Celtics court right now. Can't mess with it.
Is that the classic Celtics court?
Well, no, not the new one. It's the old one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because the new one looks kind of weird to me. Like having the TD Garden on the court instead of on the sides. And then having, what is it? What's the Red R Box name in the middle bottom?
Yeah.
Like that's even that's kind of like weird to me. So
not too big of a change.
But I'm very picky. I'm very intensive about like those types of details, and it's kind of throwing me off.
Yeah, what the Bulls did was just mind-blowing.
Also having the letters go down like Chicago instead of Chicago.
The jerseys that was are another stupid. Issue.
Yeah, the jerseys are disgusting.
Been decent, like, though.
It's all right. It's all right. Out of all of them, maybe top five. But that's such a low bar.
So number one, the court, an issue. Number two, such a small sample of games that if you have an injury like Murray's, you're effectively out. you're just not going to be able to have a guy recover in time. And Porzingis, if he's not back Tuesday, maybe you slip up against the Bulls and you're out of it. So I do think you're going to have some good teams that you would want to see in this be out just because of injuries or a slip up or two here. So that's not great, but there's really no way to solve that. That's just part of the game here. And then number three, as you mentioned, teams just not understand the point differential thing. And I was so disappointed to see the Celtics not fight till the finish line, knowing that they still had another chance to make this. And it would be a little bit easier if they lost by less. As we see here, the final score 17. This wasn't really a 17-point game. They just slipped up enough at the end that the Magic extended. And the Magic, by contrast, were actually playing for it and actually trying to push the score up. They ran one extra play at the end to get another layup. Delano Banton, to his credit, ran the four, tried to get a layup the other way before the buzzer, but wasn't able to. So I like it. That's a cool wrinkle. I think it changes the way these games are played. And once, maybe next year, everyone seems to understand this thing a little bit more, maybe teams will start actually playing to it like that. But it needs some adjustment, too. I think the other thing you can point to, Nate, is there's just not a lot on the line. Fans don't care about $500,000 per player here, and no one understands the trophy yet as fans. So it's effectively for fun. And at the end, it's just going to be a tournament that's a little different than some of the other games going on next week, which is when this thing gets rolling. So I like it. I like the idea. I think it could easily be tinkered with and improved next year. But this year, it's been clunky as expected. But do you have hope going forward that this could be better?
Yeah, I am curious to see how some of these teams that end up in the tournament, in season tournament, how that, if that impacts how they play during the playoffs. Because for a lot of these teams, like for the Magic, for example, that's going to be like their first time like in a playoff environment.
Right.
So I'm curious to see how that experience
almost like
will,
a game seven too, because it's single elimination.
Yeah. And it is a do or die situation, as you just said. So I'm curious to see how that experience impacts their overall performance when it's real playoff time.
Right. And we'll have the brackets soon enough. The first game, first round are on home courts. So the two top teams that I think are going to be the Pacers and maybe the Bucks out east. And then out west, you're going to be looking at, I think, the Lakers and either Pelicans or Kings hosting this thing. Probably Kings, the way they've been playing. So it's not bad teams, which is what I like teams. It's either up-and-comers or teams that you expect to be there. So that's another positive for me. But, yeah, we've mentioned all some of the up-and-coming teams. Like you, I'm with you on the Thunder. Love what they're doing. We'll see what happens with Josh Giddey here. But they're the real deal. They've already scored a statement win against the Warriors, just like the Magic have against the Celtics now, just like the Pacers emerging as the number one offense have been able to do here. So excited about them. We'll continue to track it all. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I want to shout out a couple more sponsors here before we get out of here. SeatGeek with us right now. Go to SeatGeek.com/DreamersPro or just use DreamersPro. Promo code right now on your first order to get $20 off Celtics games, concerts, whatever it might be. Nate, Travis Scott's coming here to the Garden, and I'm mildly intrigued if I can find a decent price ticket to throw it back to our Q's years, but we'll see how that goes. Again, Dreamers Pro, you can get $20 off Travis Scott, Celtics, whatever you want to go to this winter. And HelloFresh, just got my box. Filled with free breakfast, which I love. Going to have free breakfast for the next week pretty much with my order here. You can get it to HelloFresh.com/stealing. It's free. As long as you're using HelloFresh, you can get a free breakfast item with your order when you make it. So that's HelloFresh.com/stealing. It's free. Go check that out. Love them. America's number one meal kit. Again, HelloFresh.com/stealing. It's free. Nate, good talking to you. Go get back to watching the toilet bowl. We'll have post-game coverage of it here on CLNS Media, of course, with Taylor, with John, who are going to do the Patriots post-game show here on Patriots Press Pass. And then later tonight, we have around 8:30 Celtics post-game after Celtics-Hawks. Is this going to be another 150-point game for the Hawks, Nate?
No. I think a Trae Young disaster class is coming.
Against the Celtics here. Well, Drew's out on the court working out. I'm going to get some videos up of that, see how he's looking. It looks like he's shooting around fine, so we'll see if he plays or not. Porzingis out today, and more to come here on Celtics All Access CLNS Media. Subscribe to Dome Theory wherever you get your podcasts. We do this thing about once a week here with Nate and other friends who will hopefully be back soon. And other than that, Nate, enjoy the rest of your November.
Thank you.